right. Robbie, when I told him we were had another youth Sunday, he's like, I want to preach.
Probably not.
Oh, okay. I do want to mention today is or this weekend is Memorial Weekend. So before I get started, I just wanted to take a moment to have a little bit of silence and before I pray, just to remember those that have served our country and our God and have lost their lives so that we can have the freedoms that we do have with freedom of religion to be able to meet here without worrying worrying about things that other countries have to worry about. So if you'll join me in a moment of silence, and then we'll pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, for those that have gone before us and sacrificed their time and their lives, and for their families. We just thank you for the freedoms that we have and for the ability to be able to meet and come into a house of worship and to share this experience of worshiping you, Lord. We just ask that you be with the remainder of this service and that you would open our eyes to what you have for us and give us the strength to follow you and to serve you, Lord. Amen. All right, now between this getting a late start this morning and having fun along the way, we've definitely pushed our limit on time. So yeah. I'm going to see if I can do what I usually say. If you can't say it in 10 to 15 minutes, you probably that's probably all the time you need. So we'll see how well I do. I wanted to say thanks to the youth for helping out again today. Appreciate all the help. We had youth joining everything, doing the puppets. And then I figured we might want to make Russ an honorary youth because he's helped out with the ushering as Robbie's been up here. With the ushering as Robbie's been up here. So thank you for that, Russ. And our house has been crazy busy. We've had, all of the youth that are here except for Brennan and Sam were at our house yesterday and last night. So our house has been crazy and buzzing. And mostly boys. Jesse was the only girl, so we were full of energy and silliness and fun boy smells. Mm-hmm. And even what appeared to be some tennis dodgeball on the trampoline, I think is what was going on. I'm not sure.
Tennis balls, yep.
But the term being full of it can mean several different things. But one of those things is described something used to describe somebody that's hyperactive, has a lot of energy, or had too much sugar. Also has to do with being full of spit and vinegar, or being full of yourself. It can be used to cover quite a bit of things. If I were to ask you to think of somebody who's full of it, then the name Ron would probably pop in your mind. And Ron, I was thinking, I was like, should I say his name or not? And then you've been piping up all morning, so I'm like, you know what?
I was thinking Janet.
Janet? Janet.
So that worked out perfect. And last time, I spoke a little bit about Robbie and how he's definitely somebody that's full of it and is moved around. Yeah, don't give me those eyes. You know it. But this time I wanted to mention a little bit about my other three kids. Jessie, our oldest, she's thoughtful and caring. She's one of those people. When she's somewhere, she sees something, she'll pick it up and get it for somebody. She's definitely stubborn. But she's also very creative, and she loves to do artsy things, drawing pictures, creating stories, and she reminds me a lot of myself in that regard. Yeah, see what you have to look forward to?
Yeah.
And then Lewis, he's a quiet guy, but he's also very sensitive.
Right.
He's a good listener, and a lot of he always comes home and talks about how everybody wants to talk to him and listen to him. He's a lot like his mom in that way. But he's also very masculine. There's no question about him being a guy. And then there's James.
Brilliant. He's brilliant.
James is definitely our jokester. And if someone's going to get hurt, I almost guarantee it's going to be him.
Shock him.
But he has a big heart, and he's extremely creative and loves to be outside. And if I ever have a question about a game I'm trying to come up with, I go to him to talk to him. Or that. The door, the screen door he runs through, yes. So that's some of the things my kids are full of. There's other things too, but we'll save those for some other time. So the question is, what are you full of? How do you fill your life? So Brennan, if you can play that first video.
This.
And the volume might have to be pumped a little bit on this one to hear it.
It's pretty full, doesn't it? That's because it is. It's full of all the things you
can. You know what? Let's skip the video because it's really low.
Love, family, food, water, health, your parents, your passions. With all of these things, you could have nothing else and still lead a full life. But even with all of this.
Like I wanted to. Basically, I don't know if you guys have seen this, the idea of the jar. I think it's been on Facebook and other places. The idea is you've got a jar, and right now it's full of all these ping pong balls, and they've got different things on them, like mom, dad, family. All these things that are big things in your life that are important to you. And then he takes, and the next thing he adds is some pebbles. And he says, these are all the not so important things, like video games, cars, more stuff that we can live without, electronics. Yeah, these are things you need, like water, air, family, stuff that's important. Then you've got the small things, not as important. Work, other things like that. And then you've got things that just are like the drama going on around you, other people, distractions. And then that's the last thing. And if you put all those things in that order, it'll all fit in that jar. But if you put all the drama in first, the sand, and the other distractions in first, and then you add the little things, and then you put back in, try to put the important things in, the important things won't fit. There's not enough room. So if you don't have it in the right order, you won't have room for everything. And so when we think about what we're full of and how we're trying to fill our lives, we have to make sure that we start with the things that are most important first. The song that we played during the offering. Everybody has that thing they're looking for, that void they're trying to fill in their lives. And so we try filling it with all these things, but if we don't have it in the right order, the right foundation, if Jesus isn't the basis for that, we'll never get things filled the way they need to be filled and have room for everything in there. Last Sunday at youth, we were talking. Some of the kids asked about Pentecost. And because it was mentioned that last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, but we really didn't talk about it. So this Sunday I wanted to talk about it because we talked about it a little bit at youth, but not a whole lot. And I wanted to really go into a little more detail. That way that the youth had an understanding. And it's good for everybody to get a little refresher on what Pentecost is and the importance it is for the church. It's interesting because Pentecost was a different... they were in Jerusalem for... it's called the Festival of Weeks. Or it's Shavuot or Shavat in Hebrew. And there's some more background information, but I'm going to skip that. Needless to say, the Jewish people were there for this other festival. And Jesus had told his disciples to go and wait until they had gotten the filling of the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to talk about Pentecost, we have to talk about the Holy Spirit and what that means. So, Brennan, if you'll play that next video... This one's live.
If you've ever heard the phrase, the Holy Spirit, and you want to know what it means, where do you start?
Well, you have to start on page 1 of the Bible, where the uncreated world is depicted as this dark, chaotic place, but then above the chaos, God's Spirit is there, hovering, ready to bring about life and order and beauty.
Okay, but what is God's Spirit?
Yeah, so the Spirit is the way the biblical authors talk about God's personal presence. The Hebrew word is ruach. Ruach. Yeah, you gotta clear your throat at the end.
So what is it?
Well, Ruach can refer to a number of different things, but what they all have in common is energy.
Energy? How so?
So there's an invisible energy that makes the clouds move or the tree branches sway.
Right. Wind.
So in Hebrew, that's Ruach.
Okay.
Now take a big breath. So you feel that inside you?
Yeah, the air?
Well, specifically the energy, right? The vitality in your body that you get from breathing deeply, that too is Ruach. And this is the same word used in the Bible to describe God's personal presence. Just like wind and breath are invisible, God's spirit is invisible. Wind is powerful, and so God's spirit is powerful. And just as breath keeps us alive, so God's spirit sustains all of life.
Yeah, Ruach.
Now, as we continue on in the story of the Bible, we see God's Ruach giving special empowerment to people for specific tasks. The first person in the Bible this happens to is Joseph.
God's Spirit enables him to understand and interpret dreams.
And then it happens to this guy named Bezalel, and he's an artist.
God's Spirit empowers him with wisdom and skills. He's given creative genius to make beautiful things in the tabernacle.
And we also see God's Ruach empower a group of people called the prophets.
They're able to see what's happening in history from God's point of view.
That's exactly right. And here's the problem as the prophets saw it. While God's Ruach had created a really good world, humans have given in to evil. They've unleashed chaos into it through their injustice.
A new type of disorder.
Yes, and the prophets said the Spirit would come, just like in Genesis 1, but now to transform the human heart, to empower people to truly love God and others.
How will this new act of God's Spirit happen?
Well, centuries pass, and we are introduced to Jesus. And at the beginning of his mission, there's this beautiful scene where Jesus is being baptized in the waters of the Jordan River.
Yeah, the sky opens up and God's Spirit comes and rests on him like a bird.
The story's saying that God's Spirit is empowering Jesus to begin the new creation. And we see this happening when he heals people or forgives their sins. He's creating life where there once was death.
Now, Israel's religious leaders oppose Jesus, and they eventually have him killed.
But even here, God's Spirit is at work. The earliest disciples of Jesus, who saw him alive from the dead, said it was God's energizing spirit that raised Jesus.
This is the beginning of new creation.
Yes, and it's still going. When Jesus appeared to his closest followers, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
And soon after that, the Spirit powerfully comes on all of his disciples.
So that they can become a part of this new creation and share the good news and learn how to live by the energy and influence of God's Spirit.
And so today, the Spirit is still hovering in dark places.
Yes, pointing people to Jesus, transforming and empowering them so they can love God and others. And the Christian hope is that the Spirit is going to finish the job. The story of the Bible ends with a vision of a new humanity, living in a new world that's permeated with God's love and life-giving Spirit.
Hey, thanks for...
The Bible Project, they have a lot of great videos that do a really good job of explaining topics that sometimes are very hard to understand and doing it in a way that is very visual and very educational. But as they talked about, the Holy Spirit, he empowers people to do amazing things. And that's one of the things that happened at Pentecost, was one of those extremely amazing things. There's several verses that where Jesus talks about what's going to happen on Pentecost. In John 14:26 and 15:26, Luke 24 and 49, and Acts 1:5, he's all describing to them that this is what's going to happen, that they need to wait for that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, as I was looking, I was going to read Acts 2. It's almost the whole chapter of Acts 2 that contains the story of Pentecost. But I came across a video that has it. It's not exactly word for word. It's got some entertaining interjections in it as well. But it does a great job of depicting it and of portraying it. So if you can play that last video.
On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem, and when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there, amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen! Listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
And that, between the scripture reading and the illustration there, it helps to give you a visual to put with it. That when, after Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit to come back to empower the disciples to be able to speak in a way that everybody could understand them, regardless of the language they were speaking in. And it's an amazing account to read about in the Bible. But even today, as we accept Christ as our Savior, we get that same Spirit in us that we can go to. We can ask for guidance. We can ask for help. And it's a kind of a hard concept to understand how all that works. And sometimes the best way is through experience. And until you feel that call from God, from the Holy Spirit, and you start to follow it and listen to that small voice, it's then that you really start to realize how much power is there and how much influence it can have over your life. There's three areas I wanted to touch on as far as, you know, what is this idea of Pentecost and how can that affect our lives now and how the church operates. One of those areas is with the Holy Spirit, we also receive gifts. Different people are gifted with different abilities. As I talked about my kids, they're all very creative, but they all have specific things that I would ask each one for. If I wanted somebody to listen to me, I would go to Lewis. If I wanted something creative, I would go to Jesse. If I wanted something to do with games or just silliness or a prank, I would go to James. even in this church, there's certain people. Russ, if my lawnmower's not working, I know to call Russ. Or Robert. Robert's helped me out a few times too. Ron does great with building things. And other people. Bill was over yesterday and was helping me with some things with the lawnmower and around my house. But we all have different areas that where...
Tyler.
You know, Tyler's creative too, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Yep. And we all have areas that God has gifted us and given us strengths, whether it's listening or hearing. Listening. Or being helpful or... of course, I can't think of the words. There's people that have the gift of hospitality. They're all over the place. But through the filling of the Holy Spirit, that's those things are made possible and can enrich the lives of the church. Another area is how the church reaches out. In our society today, we're often divided and separated by race, color, religion, economic, you know, how much money you have. All these things can divide us. And when the church, when the disciples experienced Pentecost, it broke down all those barriers. Everyone could understand what was being said. And so we still have to rely on the Holy Spirit today to be able to go out and reach across those boundaries, those things that divide us. There was another, in the song it also mentioned, you know, different peoples that, I think the phrase they use is, we all bleed the same. We all have the same blood inside of us. We're all related. We're all brothers and sisters. But sometimes it gets hard to see because we have so many things that can divide us. And the Holy Spirit will help us look past those things and be open to sharing Jesus with everyone. And then the last thing kind of is included with it. But it has to do with how we serve.
Is that just feedback or is it something else?
Is it? Hello? Is that working? Okay. With how the church serves God and having the power that the Holy Spirit has available to reaching out into our communities, to reminding ourselves as the church that we have this power available to take time to focus on God, to renew ourselves in seeking out God's help through the Holy Spirit. 'Cause there's times when we go through tough times, whether we lose a family member or we're diagnosed with a disease or we're just sick, or life itself is just crazy sometimes, or you've got three kids that are about getting ready, two that are driving and another one that's getting ready to get his learner's permit. There's a lot that goes on with life.
Parish.
And we needed to be parish.
Yeah.
Parish what?
The food.
The food?
Yeah.
Okay. But we need to remember to go back and ask God for help and ask for the strength of the Holy Spirit. So hopefully this has been a reminder of what the Holy Spirit is and what he can do for us, what Pentecost is, what Pentecost was, is, and will be, because the Holy Spirit has been there, is here, and will be there. And so we just need that reminder to ask God for a new filling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So the question is, what are you full of? Right?
Fine.
Yep.
Let's pray.
You ready to pray?
Yes.
Okay.
It's my turn.
Go ahead, buddy.
Let's pray. Please.
I'll move.
Give your stuff. Go. Give your stuff.
Oh, is my stuff bothering you? Okay.
It's my turn to read.
No, you're praying.
Let's pray. Hi, Father. Cursing him this morning. Cursing him this morning. This is the... I'm making apple pies.
No.
Yes.
Just pray.
Hot dogs.
I'm going to help you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you for today. Thank you that we could join together and that we could worship you. We just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would help us to see where we can be used and what we can do to serve others, Lord. We just thank you for the blessings that you've given us and for allowing us to have a relationship with you.
Don't rest. Me too.
So we just ask that you'd be the rest of this holiday weekend, that you would be with those that have lost loved ones and help everyone to have a great weekend and enjoy the great weather.
Amen.
Amen.
Meet up. Oh.
Oh, jeez, I guess so.
Never mind.